It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. In North Texas, polls close at 7 tonight. That's about 40 minutes from now. And along with presidential candidates and some statewide races, North Texans are voting on several local races and propositions. Voters in Arlington are deciding whether to spend $500 million in sales, hotel, and car rental taxes to pay for half of a new billion-dollar ballpark for the Texas Rangers. There have been a few problems at the polls across the state today. The voter hotline set up by nonprofits has gotten about 1,400 calls from Texans. And as KERA's Christopher Connolly reports, at one precinct in Grand Prairie, voting was delayed by a death.
This morning, voters were lined up and ready to vote bright and early at Betty Warmack Library in Grand Prairie. But as the clock ticked past 7 when the polls were opening elsewhere in Texas, the doors at this library stayed closed.
We had an election judge who didn't open the polls at 7 o'clock.
Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins.
And we did a well check at that person's house and discovered that the person had died.
Gary Cox was the longtime election judge for Precinct 4502. A Grand Prairie police spokesman said the 60-year-old was found dead in his apartment. Meanwhile, at the library, voters continued to arrive. The polls finally opened more than an hour late once an alternate judge arrived. Because of the delay, voters at that particular precinct will have until 9 o'clock tonight to cast a ballot. There's one caveat, though. Anyone who arrives after 7 will have to cast a provisional ballot. Jenkins says he expects those votes will be counted just the same.
To be absolutely certain, voters should try to get there and be in line before 7 o'clock. It's best everywhere to vote earlier today. The later you wait, the longer the line can be.
For pretty much every other precinct in Texas, people have to be in line to vote by 7 if they want to cast their ballot. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
Presidential candidates Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have spent time on the campaign trail, specifically targeting black voters. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with Corey D. Fields of the Center for Comparative Studies in Race and Ethnicity at Stanford about the challenges of being a black Republican.
The people I spoke with, you know, they ground their participation, a lot of them, in concerns about African Americans and the black community, right? So they see themselves as engaging in a politics that's committed to the uplift of blacks as a collective. So the notion that somehow they've like sold out other black people is particularly frustrating. I mean, in a lot of ways, there's sort of a expectation that the media won't understand. But what becomes particularly frustrating is the, you know, individual lived experience, you know, having to go home and over Thanksgiving dinner, have your relative, your cousin say, dude, what are you doing? You're a sellout. You know, like that's, you know, really evokes a sense of frustration and a struggle. Certainly, it doesn't feel any better when you turn on The Daily Show and you're being sort of made fun of either. Both things are frustrating. And that's, you know, a central challenge for black Republicans is sort of accounting for, you know, how you can be both black and Republican.
Corey D. Fields is the author of Black Elephants in the Room, The Unexpected Politics of African-American Republicans. You can listen to this podcast of this episode at KERA.org/think. Soon, this election will be over, but with a country so divided, what happens tomorrow? KERA's Christina Martinez talked with voters across Dallas about their thoughts on this heated presidential race and their biggest concerns the day after.
How you doing? My name is Adam Barrier. It really has been a whole lot more of a circus type election than past elections. I mean, it seemed like it was more of bashing the candidate instead of talking about issues and what needs to be done. And really myself, I think it made a mockery of this whole presidential election. It's really kind of hard to say, but some kind of violence may take place. I don't know. You know, I'm not saying that it is. I'm not wanting it to, but the way that everything's been looking, that it may take place.
My name is Ling Xiao. I'm a history professor at SMU. My biggest concern is the demagogues who will talk about how the election is rigged and incite instability in the United States and instability in the what's supposed to be peaceful transition of power that this democracy has been have as a tradition.
Hi, my name is Allie Ledbetter. I think that so many people are very passionately almost against the other candidate that I feel like that there will be disruption no matter who wins. I'm in real estate. Everybody is posting stuff constantly about like who they like or don't like. And that's one of the reasons why I don't want to say who I'm voting for, because I feel like it would affect my job and some relationships that I have, which is sad.
My name is Matthew Simons. I'm not sure there's any concerns, but my hope is that cooler heads prevail and all the strong emotions subside and people take time to reflect and think of how we can work together and achieve a common good.
Our election coverage continues in just a few minutes, where we'll return to All Things Considered. And we'll have live coverage throughout the evening on KERA Radio and KERA TV. We'll also be live blogging Texas results on our website, keranews.org. And you can join the conversation on social media with hashtag TXDecides. On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project explores life on the financial edge. Today, living without access to credit. The latest FDIC numbers show statewide fewer people are what's known as underbanked. In North Texas, however, the numbers continue to rise. As KERA's Courtney Collins reports, one nonprofit is working to turn that tide, one low-interest loan at a time.
When 43-year-old Sylvia Perez took out a $1,500 loan against her car title, she had one goal: take care of her soon-to-be-born grandson.
Bassinet, Pampers, small clothes, you know, whatever the baby was lacking at the time.
Perez doesn't have a credit card and was short on cash, so a 30-day auto title loan seemed like the only option. The interest rate, or APR, was 315%. Perez didn't realize what that meant and figured she'd be able to pay off the loan fairly quickly.
I was like, yeah, I'm going to get out of this, you know. And then I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to get out of this.
When the 30 days were up and it was time to repay the loan, Perez didn't have the money. So she rolled it over, paying $387 to extend it for another month. She'd done that three times before a North Texas nonprofit came to the rescue. Louise Bland runs the mini loan program at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul.
So she had paid nearly $1,200 in fees and interest, but she still owed them the $1,500 that she borrowed.
So Perez applied for a mini loan and was approved. Here's how it worked. The Catholic charity paid off her title loan and gave her a new one. 12 monthly payments of $183 at an interest rate of 3%. In about 18 months, 63 of these small loans have been issued. And Louise Bland says the on-time pay rate is 87%.
85% of our participants, if it wasn't for this loan program, they wouldn't qualify for even a checking account. So they certainly wouldn't get a loan. So they have to go to these predatory lenders.
A third of North Texans are currently underbanked, which means they're using auto title and payday lenders or paying fees to cash paychecks. Jacqueline Priestley is outreach director for the nonprofit arm of MasterCard. She says being underbanked will cost you.
The average financially underserved family spends nearly 10% of their income on fees and interest to access their money. And that's the same amount of money that the average household spends on groceries.
Which, she says, is a blow to any budget. For low-income families, it can be devastating.
It's costing the folks with the very least the most to access their money.
Priestley says MasterCard and other banks offer some less expensive options, like prepaid cards, that allow low-income folks to build a payment history and save. High-interest loans and the fees that come with them, though, will continue to be reality for many on the financial edge. Not for Sylvia Perez.
It's the first time for everything, and it's the first and last. No, I'll never just do that again, that error. I'll just figure it out, you know, one way or another.
Perez may not have many options. Even so, she says, a car title loan is no longer one of them. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
Cloudy skies tonight, 20% chance for storms at low around 58. It's 65 degrees in Dallas. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.